Now take a listen to this exciting moment without much context. It's a sporting event. We'll tell you what sport in just a moment.
The bout we've been waiting for. Here we go. Sears throws a textbook paper to jump ahead. Julie, though, slowed the pace, which should work to her advantage.
That was the title match of the 2007 United States Rock, Paper, Scissors Championship in Las Vegas. You heard me right. Those are professional rock, paper, scissors.
But before we got to this point in history where rock, paper, scissors is part of pop culture, there was a long history of the game making its way to us from China.
Anna Ramanan is a writer, editor, and producer. She's the global content editor for Time Out New York and has written for publications like Forbes and Fortune magazine. Her piece for Popular Mechanics is called The Long Winding History of Rock, Paper, Scissors. Anna, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. I'm excited.
So, Anna, I guess first things first, are you or did you play rock, paper, scissors when you were a kid?
Yes, I definitely played rock, paper, scissors, and it's interesting because I'm in my 30s now, and I didn't know that there was such an interesting, elaborate history behind the game that I played for so long when I was little, and I still play now to make some decisions. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, we kind of always take it as a given. I remember playing it when I was a kid. It would be how, you know, my cousins and I would settle disagreements. And it was just fascinating to read your article because it seems like, you know, as I said, it's a given, but it has this long history. Can you talk about where rock, paper, scissors, as we know it today, originated?
Yes. So the origins are actually, it started a long time ago in China. The first mention of something that resembles the game that we play today is found in a Chinese book that's called Wuzazu. In it, the game wasn't called rock, paper, scissors. It was actually called Shou Xiling. And it dates back to sometime between like 200 and BC and 200 AD. And it's pegged to the Chinese Han dynasty. The next time we see it is actually in Japan. And interestingly, a lot of people think that Japan is actually the birthplace of the game, but that's not really the case. It really is. It came to Japan through contact with China. And in Japan, the game was called Sansukumi Ken, which literally means three are afraid of one another, which obviously is a call to the way you play the game. And it really was a series of different hand gestures, and they were actually different symbols. It wasn't rock, paper, scissors. It was a slug. It was a frog, and it changed throughout. Then eventually it obviously came to the West as well and is the rock, paper, scissors that we play today.
Yeah, it's interesting. It sounds like the trajectory from China and then a little east to Japan where it got its footing there and then migrated to the West. And it sounds like there are places along the Mediterranean that have their own version. But it all comes down to, you know, these same three things. One thing is afraid of the other. And, you know, rock beats scissors, scissors beats paper, paper beats rock. And a lot of people use it to make decisions. And, you know, it feels like an interesting way to make a decision. Why did this become the go-to insofar as we know?
Well, it is mostly, I would really say 99% of it is a game of luck and it's complete randomness. It has been studied as a mind game, though, because now there are actually worldwide competitions of rock, paper, scissors, believe it or not, and there is some sort of strategy involved. But what's interesting, and going back to your question of why is it used as a decision-making tool, it's really because it's a random game. Like, you don't know what the opponent is going to do, and you sometimes don't even know what you're going to do. But in these worldwide competitions, they realize that, well, your chances of winning involve a random selection of moves. So the whole point is to be as random as possible. But can humans really truly be random is the question that they're trying to answer. And I guess there's no answer really to that. But the more random you are, the greater your chance of winning because your opponent cannot really guess your next move.
And you get into that in your article that the people who are really good at rock, paper, scissors are kids because they don't have the same sort of like decision level making. They do make decisions, but they can still operate more randomly. Was that interesting to come across when you were looking at rock, paper, scissors for this article?
Yeah, I mean, it was super interesting because I never really thought of it. And it's true. Kids have the ability not to overthink just about anything. They're very I guess, direct in what they do, and they just kind of do the first thing that comes to their head. So that makes them very hard opponents to beat, because the whole point is that we're trying to kind of guess what our opponent is going to do.
And, you know, we were talking about the fact that this is a game of luck and randomness. You also mentioned that people are really into trying to beat the game, beat their opponent, and that there are now competitions across the world. Can you talk about that, about how this has reached sort of ESPN level coverage at points?
So it's crazy to me that this is even covered in any sort of global competition, but it is. And I think it's because people were able to determine a tiny bit of strategy. And I think that when that comes into the picture, it automatically translates into some sort of competition. So what these pro players really do is they use gambits. They're called gambits. And they're basically a pre-selected series of moves that these pro players go into the game already know. They basically already know the moves that they're going to make. And they do that to really, really, really minimize certain ticks that they may have that may signal to the opponent the move that they're about to make. So they go in prepared. They know exactly what they're going to do. And that way they try to, again, maximize that randomness for the opponent. In total, there are actually 27 gambits. There are like 27 series of moves, potential moves, based on the three, signs that we could use while playing. But only 8 of these 27 gambits are widely used. And it's interesting, they have very, very, cute and interesting names, like the fistful of dollars is rock, paper, paper. The scissor sandwich, as you can imagine, is paper, scissors, paper. And there's 8 of them, and they have these names, and that's really what these pro players use in these competitions.
Well, Anna, thank you so much for chatting with me about this. This was really fun.
Of course. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we have a little more understanding of the game now when we play and make decisions through it.
That was Anna Ramanan. She's a writer, editor, and producer. She's also the global editor for Time Out magazine. Her piece for Popular Mechanics is called The Long Winding History of Rock, Paper, Scissors.